Luke 19 and the first 10 verses. Here again, God's Word. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And they saw it, and they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the one who did come into the world, and as we see from this particular text before us, he came to seek the lost and to save the lost. Bless us as we take a look at this morning, and grant your grace in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I decided I would take some time to look at some texts that reflect on why Jesus came. After all, we're in this season that is celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And one of our needs is to understand why he came. And in verse 10 of the 19th chapter of Luke, it says very plainly, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Last week we looked at the fact that Jesus came to save sinners. This morning we look at this little story that took place a long time ago in Jericho, and the reason for Jesus coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And he did so in accordance with a divine plan, the plan of the Father. And so at the outset, at the head of the bulletin, I set before you this statement: Jesus Christ came into the world by divine appointment to seek out and to save lost people, just like you and me. May God help us in the understanding of this text, and that this indeed is the case. In our text this morning, it's not only that Jesus Christ came into the world, but more specifically, he came to this city of Jericho. And just previous to his entrance into Jericho, on his way to the city, he healed a blind man. And shortly before that, he had a question from a rich young man: "What must I do to be saved?" And after Jesus spoke to the young man and said to him, because he was rich, that he needed to sell all that he had and give it to the poor, the young man went away. And then Jesus said, well, it was like a camel going through the eye of a needle, a rich man entering the kingdom of heaven. And so it was. Now we have another rich person whom Jesus meets as he comes into Jericho. Let's read the first six verses of this particular text again. "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature, so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. For he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Here is Jericho, this city outside of Jerusalem, the first great conquest that the people had as they crossed the Jordan and were heading into the Promised Land. And now Jesus is coming into Jericho, and as he comes into Jericho, the text tells us that there was this fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. The name is a Hebrew name or Aramaic name, and it might have a reference to Zechariah. It might be the same name. At any rate, here is this man who is a tax collector. Everyone loves the IRS. Everyone loves those who have the occupation of collecting taxes. Well, in our day and age, we think in our country that the percentage of our income that we pay in taxes is too high. Zacchaeus was a man who collected taxes, and he set the rate himself. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? And he set the rate himself because he was engaged in extortion and fraud. He would collect as much money as he possibly could, and then he would pay the Roman government the percentage, the amount that the Roman government was due, and Zacchaeus would keep the rest. So that's how he made his living. And he was rich because of his extortion and fraud. And it was well known that this is how he made his living. Now here comes Jesus into the community. And Jesus had just previously healed a blind man upon his way to Jericho. And so the crowds were gathering and the word was spreading. And as Jesus entered the city, Zacchaeus heard about Jesus coming, and he runs in order to see Jesus. The second verse says he was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, because he was small. He was that wee little man. And he has to climb a tree in order to see Jesus. The point being here that he wanted to see Jesus. Calvin notes in commenting on this story that there are times in which God places it within the hearts of individuals to see who this Jesus is, although they have no faith, and although they may grope in the darkness as blind individuals after the Savior. And that's what is taking place. Look at the text again. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. The crowd is gathering, and there is some impetus now for Zacchaeus to run and to get ahead of the crowd, because if he gets enthronged, he'll definitely be unable to see Jesus. And so he runs on ahead. And he scrambles up this tree. Well, you've seen this kind of thing. People hanging out of trees by parades and circumstances like this. Zacchaeus runs and he gets up into this tree. And lo and behold, Jesus passes directly by where Zacchaeus is. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, to the very place. He looked up into that tree. Zacchaeus, and here's Jesus directly speaking to this man. Zacchaeus, strikes me that Zacchaeus wasn't wearing a name tag. You suppose he was? I don't think so. But yet, Jesus addresses him directly by name. Zacchaeus, hurry down out of that tree. And look at how Jesus puts it. Hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Literally, what Jesus says to Zacchaeus is, it is necessary for me to stay at your house. And why is it necessary? Because it is God's plan for me to be here, standing at the foot of this tree, looking up, identifying you by name, and calling you to come down. If that were you, how would you respond? He calls you by name. And he does, as the text tell us, hurry down. He hurried and came down and received him, the text says, gladly, with joy, with rejoicing. Called by name, by the Savior, in accordance with the divine plan of God. And the text says, Zacchaeus received him gladly. To as many as received him, the Gospel of John says, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. There's not only communication that takes place here, folks, but there is a divine appointment in which this man comes to Christ. Christ came for what purpose? To seek and to save the lost. Well, there's the usual response and clamor from the religious folk. And it's given to us in verse 7. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Of course, this was the common thing that always took place among Israel, wasn't it? They grumbled. Anytime God did anything with them in the wilderness, it seemed that they grumbled. And they complained. It's a fascinating thing that one of the things that Paul tells us in the book of Philippians is that we should do all things without grumbling and complaining. And that's one of the first things that he tells us. And here we have it in this particular text. That when Jesus calls a man to himself and this man receives him joyfully, others look at it and the first thing they do is grumble. And why do they grumble? Because Jesus has taken it upon himself to go to the home of a sinner. And the word sinner here means not only that this is a sinful person, the word sinner here means not only that Jesus understands Zacchaeus as an individual who has broken the law of God and lived contrary to the word of God, but the word sinner here means that Zacchaeus was in fact a notorious individual. When I thought about this, I had to go to the idea of the Godfather and the idea of the mafia and the mafia don, the person who is a notorious thief and probably murderer, who is the head of a family who is engaged in all kinds of corruption and fraud and is known to be that kind of a person, and yet politely goes to church in a very nice suit and sits in the front of the church and greets the pastor or bishop kindly. What hypocrisy! That this is the kind of person Zacchaeus was. He was known to be that kind of a person. And so, when the community sees that Jesus goes to the home of this Zacchaeus, they're scratching their heads. And the religious leaders are not only scratching their heads, they're grumbling because they wouldn't dare contaminate themselves by going into the home and sitting at the table with an unclean person like this. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And what is the response of Zacchaeus? Well, we've already seen that he received Jesus gladly, but there was more. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord. The original language says, Zacchaeus stood. Came down from that tree and he stood before Jesus. And the text tells us that he stood and said to the Lord. Now that's Luke speaking there. That Zacchaeus spoke to the Lord, and Jesus is identified very specifically as the Lord. And Zacchaeus then speaks to the Lord and says, "Behold, Lord." And so it's unmistakable, it seems to me, that Zacchaeus identifies Jesus Christ as the Lord. And of course, that's the confession that we need to make, is it not? That if we confess with our mouths as that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. This is the confession. This is the basic Christian confession. And I would submit to you that Zacchaeus makes this confession. "Behold, Lord." And it wouldn't be with any sense of lightheartedness that Zacchaeus utters those words. Remember now, he's a rich man. Behold, Lord. What does the text say? Half of my possessions I will give to the poor. Behold, Lord. Half of what I have I give to the poor. Of course, in the background is that scene, that story that Jesus, or not a story, that situation in which the rich young ruler came to Jesus. It's more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How is it possible, Lord, for anyone then to be saved? With man, it's not possible, but with God, it's possible. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. No name tag. Zacchaeus, called by the Lord of glory, come down, received gladly. Lord, half of my possessions I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, has he defrauded anyone? Of course he has. I will make restitution, and that fourfold. Here's a man who came to Christ with faith in his heart, born of God, calling upon the Savior, and working out that faith in corresponding deeds of love and mercy. You say you have faith. Show me your faith by your works. And so Zacchaeus does. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, salvation has come, says Jesus, to the household of Zacchaeus. And note how Jesus puts it, because he too is a son of Abraham. Well, what do you have to do? What do you have to be to actually be a son of Abraham, a child of Abraham? You have to have the faith of Abraham. You have to have that faith in the Savior expressed by Abraham that brings right standing with God in order to be a true child of Abraham. Oh yeah, there are children of Abraham out there that are children of Abraham according to the flesh.
And what do they do when Jesus calls Zacchaeus and Jesus goes to the home of Zacchaeus? They grumble. But the true children of Abraham, those who come to God by faith, who trust in the Savior, the true children of Abraham embrace the household of faith. And they love those who are among that household of faith. And they love those who are of that household of faith because they know that if one sinner repents, all the angels of heaven rejoice. And there's Zacchaeus. What a wonderful word spoken by Jesus about him and about his household. Today, salvation has come to this household, for he too is a child of Abraham. And as Jesus came into that city in accordance with the plans and purposes of God to seek Zacchaeus, and he looked up into that tree and he called him down, and this man was converted. The work of Jesus was being explained and showed and displayed. And that's where the end of this story comes into play. Verses 9 and 10 again. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And by divine appointment, Jesus came and sought him out and saved him. Thank God. This is why he came. This is why he was born 2,000 years ago. So that he would grow and have a ministry and walk Galilee and Judea seeking the lost and saving them. This is what he came to do. And this is what he continues to do. He continues to come, does he not? He continues to come through his word. You realize the Bible is still the most published book in the world? He continues to come through his word. And I'm thankful, I really am, that some people only once a year hear the stories read, the birth narratives. But they hear the story. And Jesus comes through his ambassadors, through people like you and me, who talk to others about him. And Jesus comes, he continues to come through the power of his own Spirit in the world. And as He comes, He dwells with His people. Thankfully, He does that. And in this process, He comes to seek us out. And He keeps appointments with people like us. I remember the appointment. On the other side of the world. And meeting Jesus Christ. How about you? And He saves, does He not? He saves. Look at the splendid example in the life of Zacchaeus, who received Him joyfully. And his life was utterly transformed. And he was brought into the fellowship of and the membership of the people of God. You know, I think that's an exciting thing. I really do. Why did Jesus Christ come? To seek out and to save people like us. And I dare say, dear friends, even though we may be a small company of people here this morning, the reason we're here, the reason we may be together, is this very work of our Savior, that He came. And He came to seek us out. And He came by His death on the cross to save us. Be, my friends, like Zacchaeus, and receive Him joyfully. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for mercy and grace. Thank You that You did, our Lord Jesus, come into this world for the likes of us. Thank You that this is Your truth worked out in our lives. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.